Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving headfirst into the whirlwind that is artificial intelligence. You've sent us a fantastic collection of articles, and what's immediately clear is that things are moving fast.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we're going to unpack the most important developments, new AI models, fresh features, and some, well, fascinating discussions around what AI can and maybe can't do.
Right.
All so you can stay in the know without getting sort of lost in the tech weeds.
Absolutely. Looking at these sources, it's clear we're at a really interesting inflection point. Yeah. We're seeing these major technological leaps happening kind of in tandem with real-world applications that are sometimes, well, surprising, to say the least.
Okay, let's unpack this then. We've got the big players like Anthropic and OpenAI making some pretty significant moves.
Yeah.
A brand new company called Deep Cachito throwing its hat in the ring.
That one's interesting.
Google advancing its AI infrastructure, and even a, well, frankly, rather unbelievable story out of a courtroom.
Oh, I saw that one. Wow.
Plus, we'll dig into a study that kind of makes you rethink what we mean when we talk about AI values and how platforms like YouTube are tackling the issue of AI-generated fakes.
It's a packed agenda, for sure. And it really highlights the breadth of what's happening in AI right now,
yeah.
You know, from fundamental research to practical implementation and even some unexpected societal impacts.
Okay, let's kick things off with Anthropic. They've just launched a new subscription plan for their Claude model called Max, and it really looks like they're directly challenging OpenAI's ChatGPT Pro. What's the key insight here for you?
Well, what's fascinating is how clearly they're now segmenting the market. Anthropic has introduced not just one, but two premium tiers for Claude Max.
Toe tiers.
Yeah, a $100 monthly option offering 5 times the usage limits of their regular pro plan.
Okay, 5 times.
And a $200 per month tier with a staggering 20 times the limit.
Wow, 20 times.
And that $200 price point, that very closely mirrors OpenAI's ChatGPT Pro.
Okay.
So this move, it really signals a growing demand from those, you know, power users, developers, researchers, maybe businesses who need that extra muscle and priority access to the latest models.
So for listeners, this likely means that as your own reliance on AI grows, you'll probably see more of these tiered access models popping up.
I think so, yeah. It's becoming the way to access the really high-end stuff.
Right. And Anthropic's product lead even hinted that they might consider even more expensive options down the line, though they haven't jumped to an unlimited plan like ChatGPT Pro just yet.
Not yet. Interesting. They're holding back on that for now.
And they're also exploring Claude for Education, which sounds like a pretty strategic move to get universities using their tech.
Makes sense. Get them early.
And apparently they're seeing a lot of excitement around their new Claude 3.7 Sonnet reasoning model.
Right. The reasoning models are a big focus.
So the takeaway seems to be, if you're a heavy AI user, expect these premium subscriptions to become the norm, offering significant boosts in capability and access to the cutting-edge AI.
Exactly. The leading AI companies are clearly betting on this model to, you know, monetize their advanced technologies and cater to those who can really leverage high volume usage and the newest features.
And that mention of reasoning models like Sonnet, that's important too, isn't it?
Absolutely crucial. It points to a focus on AI that can handle more complex step-by-step problem solving, really moving beyond just generating plausible text.
Okay. Speaking of OpenAI, they've just rolled out a long-term memory upgrade for ChatGPT. This feels like a pretty significant leap towards making these chatbots feel less like one-off interactions and more like ongoing conversations.
Absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this push towards long-term memory is all about creating more personalized and context-aware AI interactions.
So less starting from scratch every time.
Exactly. Instead of ChatGPT forgetting everything from your previous chats, it can now recall past discussions without you having to manually save the information.
Mm-hmm.
It builds on their existing memory feature, but now incorporates saved memories along with insights gathered from your, what they call, reference chat history.
Okay, so it's actively learning from your past interactions.
That's the idea. Imagine your AI assistant actually remembering your preferences, past projects you discussed. That's the direction this long-term memory feature points towards, much more useful over time.
So it's essentially learning from your interactions over time. And interestingly, this is initially available to their paid subscribers, the Pro and Plus tiers.
That's right. Pro, 200 month, and Plus, 20 month. Get it first.
And then eventually it reaches their team, enterprise, and education users.
Correct.
But no word yet on when or if free users will get this capability.
Nothing mentioned. No timeline given for free users.
It's also worth noting that this update isn't available everywhere, right? Like the EU, UK.
Correct. The EU, UK, Switzerland, Norway, Iceland, and Liechtenstein are excluded for now, likely due to AI regulations like GDPR and the AI Act.
Right, the regulatory angle. And Google's Gemini also received a similar memory upgrade recently. So it seems like this is a key area of development for conversational AI across the board.
Definitely a trend.
Yeah.
And it brings up an important point around user experience and, well, data handling.
Yeah.
While the idea of an AI that remembers your preferences and past conversations is incredibly convenient, maybe more efficient,
Right.
it naturally raises questions about how that data is stored, how it's secured, how it's used.
Of course.
The fact that it's optional and you can toggle it off, or you can use temporary chats that aren't saved, that does give users some control, which is, a positive thing.
Okay, good. Control is key.
But the regulatory considerations in Europe really underscore the ongoing need to balance technological progress with data protection. It's a tricky line to walk.
Definitely. Okay, let's shift gears and talk about a new player on the scene, DeepCogito. They've just come out of stealth mode with these Cogito 1 models, which they're calling hybrid AI models. What's the thinking behind this hybrid approach?
Yeah, this is quite interesting. What's fascinating here is their attempt to strike a balance between speed and thoroughness.
Okay.
DeepCogito's Cogito 1 family of models, they can apparently switch between a reasoning mode.
Like the Anthropic model we mentioned.
Similar concept, yeah.
Yeah.
This mode involves step-by-step fact-checking, making it supposedly better for complex tasks like math and physics.
Right, where you need that precision.
Exactly. And then it can switch to a non-reasoning mode for simpler, more straightforward queries where speed might be more important.
Huh. So it's like having different gears in an AI model, shifting between like fast mode and meticulous mode depending on the task.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. Like having both a quick, efficient route for simple questions and a more detailed, fact-checked route for when accuracy and complexity really matter.
And they're making some bold claims, saying their models outperform other open models of similar size from major players like Meta and DeepSeek.
They are. And interestingly, they're built on top of existing open source models like Meta's Llama and Alibaba's Qwen,
Yep.
but using their own novel training approaches.
Building on the shoulders of giants, sort of.
Kinda, yeah. And they even have the very ambitious goal of building general superintelligence.
Wow, that's aiming high.
It is indeed ambitious. But, if we look at the broader trend, the strategy of building upon existing open source foundations and then applying novel training techniques is becoming increasingly common.
Right, it lets people move faster.
Exactly. It allows for faster innovation and wider access to core AI technology. And the focus on reasoning as a key capability is also really significant. As AI becomes more advanced, the ability to not just generate text, but to actually reason through problems becomes critical. The fact that their largest model, Cogito 70B, reportedly performs well against established reasoning models in certain benchmarks suggests they might be onto a promising approach.
Okay, definitely one to watch then, DeepCogito. Now let's talk about Google adopting Anthropic's Model Context Protocol, or MCP. This sounds a bit technical, but why should our listeners care about this protocol?
Okay, yeah, it sounds technical, but think of it as like a universal connector for AI models and all sorts of different data
My
sources.
universal connector. Okay.
The Model Context Protocol, MCP, basically makes it easier for AI models to talk to and access all sorts of data. It could be your business tools, software you use daily, content repositories, even app development environments.
Ah, so it helps AI actually use stuff from the real world or from other programs.
Precisely. It enables a two-way street of communication, allowing developers to build AI-powered applications like chatbots that can actually interact with and pull information from, well, from wherever the data lives.
So if both Anthropic and now Google and even OpenAI seems to be adopting this to some extent, it sounds like it could become a real industry standard, maybe?
That's exactly what it looks like. Companies like Block, Apollo, Replit, they're already on board since Anthropic open-sourced it.
Right.
And Google's DeepMind CEO, Demis Hassabis, even called it a good protocol that's rapidly becoming an open standard. That's pretty strong backing.
Okay, so that's the key takeaway then. Standardization is crucial for AI's growth and like widespread adoption.
Absolutely. If different models and platforms can easily connect to data using a common protocol like MCP, it significantly lowers the barrier for developers to create more powerful and integrated AI applications.
Less fragmentation, more collaboration.
Exactly. It fosters a more collaborative and less fragmented AI landscape. The fact that major players like Google and OpenAI are embracing it suggests a strong industry-wide movement towards this kind of unified approach. It makes building things much easier down the line.
Makes sense. Okay, also from Google, they unveiled their seventh generation TPU AI accelerator chip called Ironwood during their Cloud Next conference. This is all about the specialized hardware that powers AI, right? The chips.
Precisely. The continued progress in AI, especially with these huge models, is heavily dependent on advancements in specialized hardware. Ironwood is Google's latest tensor processing unit, or TPU.
Okay.
And what's particularly interesting here is that it's their first TPU specifically optimized for what's called inference.
Inference, right. That's running the AI models, not training them.
Exactly. Think of training as the really intensive learning phase, like teaching the AI everything it knows.
Mm-hmm.
And inference is when the trained AI puts that knowledge to use in the real world, like when you asked ChatGPT a question and it gives you an answer. That's inference happening.
Okay. So while previous TPUs were maybe more focused on the heavy lifting of training these massive AI models, Ironwood is designed for deploying them and making them run efficiently, quickly in real-world applications.
That's the core idea. Google claims it's their most powerful, capable, and energy-efficient TPU yet, built specifically for running inferential AI at scale.
And they're clearly in a hardware race here, aren't they? With companies like NVIDIA, Amazon, Microsoft.
Oh, absolutely. NVIDIA is still the dominant player, but Google, Amazon with Trainium and Inferentia, Microsoft with Maya, they're all developing their own specialized AI accelerator chips. It's a huge area of investment and competition.
So this hardware race is critical for future AI progress.
It is. As AI models become more complex and get integrated into more and more applications, the need for faster, more efficient, and crucially more power-conscious chips becomes increasingly important.
Right. The energy use is a big factor.
Huge. So while the detailed technical specs, you know, the TFLOPS, the RAM per chip, the bandwidth might seem a bit abstract.
Yeah, it gets technical fast.
The key takeaway for you is that this kind of heavy investment in specialized hardware is what will actually enable faster, more responsive AI applications in the near future.
Got it. Better chips mean better AI experiences.
And potentially more sustainable ones, too, with the focus on energy efficiency, minimizing data movement, reducing latency. That's all part of making AI deployment practical at scale.
Okay. Now let's delve into a rather extraordinary story. A judge's reaction to an AI avatar being used in a courtroom. This sounds like something straight out of a sci-fi show.
It really does. It certainly highlights the rapidly evolving intersection of AI and established professional domains, sometimes with unexpected and, let's say, perhaps unwelcome results.
So what happened exactly?
Okay, so in this instance, an entrepreneur named Jerome DeWald attempted to use an AI-generated avatar named Jim, apparently from a company called Tavis.
An AI named Jim. Okay.
To present oral arguments in a legal appeal in New York. But, crucially, he didn't inform the court beforehand.
Ah, that seems like a bad first step.
You think? Justice Sally Manson at Daniels was understandably not amused. She interrupted the video presentation, expressing confusion and, well, pretty clear displeasure at being misled.
I can only imagine. What did she say?
Her quote was pretty direct. "You're not going to use this courtroom as a launch for your business."
Oof. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. And this isn't the first time AI has caused trouble in the legal world, right?
Not at all. This follows other instances where legal professionals have faced consequences for using AI in, let's say, questionable ways, like submitting legal research that ChatGPT just made up, full of fictitious cases.
Right, the hallucination problem striking again.
Exactly. And there's been regulatory action against some robot lawyer companies, too. It really brings up some serious ethical and practical considerations about using AI in these formal, highly regulated settings.
So the big takeaway is transparency, understanding limitations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The need for transparency is paramount in contexts like a courtroom. Using an AI avatar in a legal proceeding without telling the court is, well, misleading at best.
Yeah.
It underscores the fact that while AI offers exciting new possibilities, we need to think really carefully about the implications for established protocols and ethical standards, especially in fields like law, where trust and accountability are just fundamental.
The judge's reaction kind of sends a message, doesn't it?
A very clear message about the continued importance of human presence, human accountability in legal proceedings, at least for now.
Okay. Now, On a more theoretical but maybe equally important note, there's a recent study from MIT that's challenging the widely held idea that increasingly sophisticated AI will naturally develop its own value systems.
Yes, the AI alignment question.
Exactly. This is a really central point in the ongoing discussions about AI safety and, you know, making sure AI aligns with human goals.
It is a crucial point to consider. This MIT study essentially argues that current AI, despite its impressive capabilities, does not possess coherent, stable values in the way that humans do, or at least there's no evidence it does.
So it's not developing its own sense of right and wrong.
According to this study, no. The researchers rigorously tested models from, you know, all the big names, Meta, Google, Mistral, OpenAI, Anthropic.
Okay.
And they found that the model's stated preferences were inconsistent. They'd adopt different viewpoints, say individualist versus collectivist, depending heavily on the specific way they were prompted or questioned.
So they're easily swayed.
That seems to be the finding. Their conclusion is that AI models are fundamentally imitators, just mimicking the patterns and the vast amounts of data they're trained on, rather than having genuine internal beliefs or stable preferences.
So all those perhaps slightly sci-fi concerns about AI suddenly deciding to prioritize its own well-being over humanity may be a bit premature, at least based on this research.
Yeah, it seems to be what this study suggests, yeah.
Yeah.
The co-authors even argue that aligning AI, you know, ensuring it behaves as we intended to, might actually be more complex than we thought. Precisely because of this.
How so?
Because of AI's inherent unpredictability, its tendency to sometimes hallucinate or produce nonsensical information, or just mimic undesirable patterns it found in the training data without any underlying value system guiding it.
So if it doesn't have stable values, aligning it isn't about making its values match ours. It's more complicated.
That's a key insight here, I think. The task becomes less about making its values match ours and more about understanding and carefully controlling its imitative behavior across a huge range of possible situations, which is hard.
Right.
This perspective shifts the focus from sometimes oversimplified notions of AI ethics to a more nuanced understanding of how these complex systems actually function and how we can best guide their behavior reliably.
And other experts agree with this.
Yeah, people like Mike Cook from King's College London were quoted agreeing, emphasizing the potential pitfalls of, you know, anthropomorphizing AI, projecting human-like qualities onto these systems when they might operate very differently.
Okay, that's a really important perspective shift. AI as complex imitator, not necessarily a thinking being with values.
For now, at least, based on this research.
Got it. Now, looking to the near future, it appears OpenAI is gearing up to launch some new AI models, possibly very soon. What are we hearing?
Yeah, the rumor mill is definitely churning. The speed of development in this field is just remarkable.
Yeah, it really is.
Sources are indicating that OpenAI is preparing to release a revamped version of their already impressive GPT-4 model, potentially named GPT-4.1.
Okay, 4.1, an update to 4.0.
Right. And possibly along with smaller, more streamlined mini and nano versions of GPT-4.1.
Smaller models are always interesting for efficiency.
Exactly. There's also speculation about a wider release of their O3 reasoning model, that reasoning capability again, and even an O4 mini version. Hints of these models have apparently even been spotted within the code of a new ChatGPT web interface.
Sneaky. Of course, these are still just indications, right? Plans can change.
Absolutely. And OpenAI CEO Sam Altman himself has mentioned potential delays and even service slowdowns. They faced capacity challenges due to the high demand for computing power.
GPUs, right.
Yeah, those graphics processing units needed for training and running these massive models, especially with the huge popularity of image generation features.
So the exact launch plans could certainly change. But it definitely signals that the pace of innovation in AI model development isn't slowing down anytime soon. We should expect more soon.
Absolutely. The continuous release of more advanced and more efficient models is a clearer trend. Companies are constantly pushing the boundaries of what's possible, aiming for better performance, enhanced reasoning capabilities, and more efficient use of those precious computational resources.
And these advancements will likely just cascade down into all sorts of applications and industries?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Leading to even more sophisticated AI-powered tools and services becoming available in the, you know, not too distant future.
Okay. Finally, let's discuss YouTube expanding its efforts to detect AI-generated content that features the likeness of creators. This feels like an increasingly important issue as realistic AI-generated deepfakes become more widespread and easier to make.
Indeed. It's a growing concern for sure. YouTube is scaling up its pilot program that uses technology likely building on their content ID system to identify AI-generated content that mimics a creator's face or voice. And significantly, they're also publicly supporting the NOFakes ACT legislation.
Ah, the proposed U.S. law.
Yeah, the one that aims to provide legal protection to individuals against misleading AI replicas of their image or voice. This proactive approach from a major platform like YouTube really highlights the growing concern around the potential misuse of AI-generated content.
And they're working with others on this?
Apparently so. YouTube mentioned collaborating with the bill's sponsors and major industry groups like the RIA, Recording Industry Association of America, and the MPA, Motion Picture Association, shows it's a cross-industry worry.
So YouTube thinks this legislation offers a balanced approach.
That seems to be their position, yeah. Empowering individuals to notify platforms about unauthorized AI-generated likenesses, while hopefully still allowing for legitimate creative uses of AI. It's a balance they're trying to strike.
And their detection system, it builds on Content ID. How's the rollout going?
Yeah, it leverages their existing Content ID system. They've been testing it with some really prominent creators like Mr. Beast, Mark Rober, Marquise Brownlee.
Okay, big names.
Right. It sounds like they're taking this issue seriously.
Yeah.
The plan is to scale the program to more creators over the next year, but they haven't specified a date for a full public launch of the expanded detection system just yet.
Still in progress then, but it's a significant step.
It is, and it underscores the responsibility that platforms have to address the potential harms associated with AI-generated content, especially deepfakes.
Right.
YouTube's efforts to develop detection technologies and support protective legislation are, I think, encouraging signs. Empowering creators to flag unauthorized AI likenesses seems like a sensible part of the solution for managing this complex issue.
And it's an area where we'll probably see a lot more development, both technically and maybe legally.
I would expect so, yeah.
Yeah.
As AI capabilities continue to advance, the tools to manage them and the rules around them will have to evolve too.
Okay, so to try and recap this whirlwind of AI news we've just dived into.
Let's try.
We're seeing a clear trend towards premium subscription models offering enhanced capabilities like Anthropic's Max tiers.
Yep, paying for power.
AI chatbots are gaining the ability to remember our past interactions, becoming more personalized, like with OpenAI's memory update.
Making them potentially more useful over time.
Innovative hybrid AI architectures are emerging, like Deep Cogito's, trying to balance speed and accuracy.
That reasoning capability focus again?
The industry is also moving towards standardization, like with MCP adoption, to help AI models connect better to data and tools.
Making integration easier, crucial for development.
And the intense competition in AI hardware, like Google's Ironwood chip, continues to drive rapid advancements in the underlying tech.
Powering it all.
We've also explored the sometimes awkward ethical and practical considerations of AI in real-world settings, like that courtroom avatar incident.
Right, where tech meets reality,
right,
sometimes messily.
And a fascinating MIT study challenges our assumptions about AI having inherent values, suggesting they're more like complex imitators.
A really important point for thinking about alignment and safety.
Finally, we're anticipating new model releases soon from OpenAI, and major platforms like YouTube are taking proactive steps to address the growing challenge of AI-generated deepfakes and protect creators.
A lot happening on all fronts, really, from the core tech to the applications and the societal implications.
It's a rapidly evolving field, no doubt, with profound implications for how we interact with technology and, well, the world around us.
Exactly. Hard to keep up sometimes, but fascinating.
And on that note, here's maybe a final provocative thought for you, our listeners. As AI continues its incredibly rapid evolution, how will these advancements fundamentally reshape the very tools and services that you rely on every single day?
Mm.
What new questions or perhaps even concerns do these developments raise for you personally as you navigate this changing landscape? And thinking bigger picture, as AI models become increasingly personalized and integrated into our lives, what does truly responsible innovation look like? How do we ensure that this powerful technology ultimately serves and benefits us all in a meaningful way?
Yeah, those are the big questions, aren't they?
Something to really think about until our next deep dive.